The Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
And welcome to That Show Hasn't Been Funny in Years, an SNL podcast. I'm your host, Nick DiGilio. I'm a podcaster, a comedy writer and performer, graduate of the Second City, and a Saturday Night Live expert and historian. And each week, we will look back at everything SNL. The best, the worst, the good, the bad, the classic, the forgotten. We'll talk about full seasons and full casts, behind-the-scenes stories, episodes, sketches, SNL's historical significance, and much, much more. And sometimes I'll have guests, sometimes I won't. But with every episode, I will always prove that that tired cliche that you hear all the time, that show hasn't been funny in years, is absolutely wrong and untrue. Welcome to episode number 64, and it is titled Jock Hosts, Part 1. You know, it's always a gamble when SNL has athletes or jocks on to host the show. You never know how they're going to do. And, you know, this is a common thing in the world of Saturday Night Live. Since the very, very beginning, not only have they had athletes or jocks, people who are not normal comedic performers or actresses, but are just simply athletes, but they also have politicians and non-actors and sometimes very strange choices for hosts who are not comedically inclined and sometimes not even inclined to know how to entertain or perform. Sometimes they have complete non-performers host the show. I'm going to be concentrating on some jocks, and there have been many, many jocks. There have been over 40 athletes who have hosted the show over the years. And I'm going to do a series of these jock hosts, and this is part one. I'm doing a series of these where I'm going to focus on five jocks or five athletes who hosted and kind of play some clips back and talk about their appearances and when they were, in order of from really, really bad to good. And some of the jocks are terrific. Some of them are horrible. Some of them do as best they can, considering that many of them don't have comedic timing or performing talent or anything like that. So this is part one of Jock Hosts, where I will take five of the athletes who have hosted SNL, who aren't really qualified or talented to be performers or comedians especially, and tell you how they did, play a sketch back or some sound back from the episode, and talk a little bit about when they did the episode and what was the surrounding thing that was happening at the time. So a little background, some clips, and some choice moments from these sometimes terrible episodes where athletes or jocks hosted SNL. Now, as I said, it's not a very new thing for non-performers to host Saturday Night Live. In fact, it's been a thing since the very first season when SNL, you know, the first couple of seasons of SNL, 75 into 76, 76 into 77, you know, they experimented a lot more. It was much looser. Now it's pretty, you know, it's pretty standard. You know exactly what you're going to get from your cold open to your monologue to your first sketch through first musical performance, weekend updates, you know, sketches, last musical performance, the 1250 sketch, and the goodbyes. And that's pretty much the standard, you know, blueprint by which every single episode follows and has for many, many, many seasons now. But in the beginning, the first couple of seasons, it was a lot looser. There was more than one musical guest sometimes. They would have special guests doing weird stuff and weird performances. You would have, like, the Muppets were on for the first season. You had Andy Kaufman pop up and do things like that. And in later years, like, Harry Anderson would show up. You'd have Penn and Teller show up. So they'd have different comedic guests pop in and out. There were little more musical numbers. And they experimented more with their hosts in the early days. And now, every year, you know, they do have a couple of politicians who host or at least make cameos. And they always have, like, jocks or athletes show up. But in the past, I just wanted to go through a brief list of some of the non-performers and politicians who have hosted SNL over the years. And I'm going to do episodes of this podcast dedicated to some of these episodes of SNL in which really unqualified and very weird choices from politicians to weird personalities to news people hosting SNL. And I'll tell you a little bit more about each of these. But, you know, it's not new. Like I said, it's not new for jocks or athletes or people, you know, unqualified to host SNL to host SNL. But here is just a brief look back at some of the politicians or non-actors or just weird choices. And like Elon Musk hosted not too long ago a non-actor, and he did a horrific job. There were a couple of sketches that were funny because the writers stepped up and did a few things that were funny. But for the most part, the guy was a disaster, as he is like in most cases. But this is like a billionaire entrepreneur lunatic who got to host SNL sometimes on a lark. You know, Lauren will like, oh yeah, let's have this person host or that person host. And sometimes Lauren, especially nowadays, just, you know, this is going to be his last season doing the show, and he'll make some questionable decisions about who's going to host. And you're like, what the hell are you thinking having this idiot host or this politician or this person? And sometimes you think, why is Elon Musk? And that was one of those things. That's one of those nights where I just went, why the hell is Elon Musk hosting SNL? And they've done that a lot. So here is just a brief rundown of some of the politicians, non-actors, and just news people, and just weird choices. So Ron Neeson, who was the House press secretary for President Gerald Ford, hosted on April 17th, 1976. Ralph Nader hosted, safety advocate, four times presidential candidate. He hosted in 1977. Julian Bond, who was the NAACP chairman, he hosted in April of 1977. Tom Waits was a musical guest. A very strange show. So Julian Bond, the NAACP chairman. Hugh Hefner, Playboy founder, hosted in 1977. And then they had Miskel Spillman, who was a woman who won the contest, Anyone Can Host SNL. And that was in December of 1977. And it was a classic episode where SNL had this contest where anybody could host, and you have to send in a letter and why you should host. And it's this woman, this older woman in her late 60s or early 70s, came on and hosted. In fact, I did an entire episode. You want to scroll back to the archives of That Show Hasn't Been Funny in Years, and you will see an entire episode dedicated beat by beat for everything that happened on that insane episode where Miskel Spillman was the host. Anyone can host. And that was from December of 1977. Then you had Ed Koch, who was the mayor of New York City at the time. He hosted in 83. Brandon Tartikoff, the president of NBC, he hosted in 83. Edwin Newman, who was a newscaster, hosted in 84. George McGovern, Democratic presidential candidate, he hosted in 1984. Jesse Jackson hosted also in 1984. Howard Cosell, sports journalist, hosted in 1985. And oddly enough, Howard Cosell was the competition for the first season that SNL was on. And Howard Cosell actually hosted a show on ABC called Saturday Night Live. And at the time when SNL premiered in 1975, it was just called NBC's Saturday Night because they were competing with this variety/talk show that Howard Cosell was hosting on a competing network. And that show was called Saturday Night Live. In fact, SNL wasn't Saturday Night Live until the third season. The first couple of seasons, it was just NBC's Saturday Night because they were competing with Howard Cosell, who had a show called Saturday Night Live. But anyway, Howard Cosell hosted in 1985. Jimmy Breslin, a writer and journalist, hosted in 1986. George Steinbrenner, New York Yankees owner, hosted in 1990, and that was a disaster. Steve Forbes was a presidential candidate, publishing executive. He hosted in 96. Rudy Giuliani hosted in 1997, just when he was New York City mayor, before he became an insane Trumpite. He was always an idiot, but that was just then. John McCain hosted. He was a senator from Arizona at the time. He hosted in 2002. Al Gore was vice president at one point. He hosted in 2002. Al Sharpton hosted. Donald Trump hosted twice, in fact. And Brian Williams hosted in 2007. So that's an example of, you know, politicians and newscasters, non-performers, people who really should not be hosting Saturday Night Live, but you know, that doesn't stop Lauren. I mean, this season he's had a couple of stand-up comedians who have no business hosting Saturday Night Live host, and he's had musicians and you know, people who are known in the music world, but not in the comedy world, and they've hosted, and those have also been disasters. So you really do take a chance. It's a 50-50 chance. And when you do have hosts who are athletes or jocks, you're taking a risk. Some of them turn out to be naturals, and they're great. Some of them turn out to be nightmares, and they're horrible. And that's what I'm going to talk about. So I've chosen five athletes slash jocks to tell you about, give you a little critique on how they did. Now, I'm going to do it from worst to best host. So let's start out at the very bottom. Number five of the five examples of jock hosts. And again, we're going from really, really shitty, terrible performance to really, really good performance. So number five at the bottom of this batch of jocks that I am talking about on the episode is Lance Armstrong. Yes, the famous bicyclist slash cheater slash testicular cancer survivor, hosted in 2005. And as always, just so you know, I always give you the season, the episode number, and the date, and all the details about each episode so that you can look it up and watch or at least see many clips from these episodes that I talk about. That way you can get a handle on it. I play the audio from a lot of these things, but if you want to see the entire episode, you want to look at it yourself, I always provide season, episode number, and date, and musical guest, and all the information so that you can look it up. You can check it out either on Peacock, where almost all of the SNL episodes are available, some in edited fashion, some in full length. So you can go to Peacock, or you can go to YouTube, the SNL YouTube channel. You can also check it out there. Or you can scroll around on the NBC channel as well. But when Lance Armstrong hosted, everybody loved him. He was a hero. Everybody wore the yellow rubber wristbands in support of, the Stay Strong, cancer yellow, ribbon that people would wear, the yellow wristband that people would wear. And he was dating Sheryl Crow at the time, and they were a hot couple, and he was this kind of, like, heroic athlete who was doing good for cancer and research and things like that. And she was, this hot pop singer, and they were a celebrity couple. And, of course, she was the musical guest. And he hosted season 31, episode 4. It was October 29th, 2005. And it was a disaster. You're taking a chance. And it's not like these guys... Listen, Lance Armstrong is an athlete. He's a bike rider. He doesn't have to have a great personality. He doesn't have to know how to act. He doesn't have to have comedic timing or comedic skill. And that's the risk that you take. These people, they're not known for their comedy, and it's not their fault. And for the most part, it's not their fault. It's gimmicky. It's something that Lorne likes to do, where he'll get ratings, or in this day and age, it's any kind of click is a good click to Lorne, even if the click is, if people are curious to watch an idiot like Donald Trump host SNL, of course you're going to get a lot of press. Of course you're going to get a lot of clicks. It's not necessarily good for the show, and it will probably make for a pretty crappy episode if you have somebody like Elon Musk host or Donald Trump host or some of these athletes. But it gets people talking. There's buzz. It makes the news, and it gets the clicks. And ultimately, when Lorne and the staff at SNL decide that they're going to do stunt casting like this, they do it because they're going to get publicity. And that was the case with Lance Armstrong, who was really, really hot at the moment. The episode was an absolute disaster. Not only did he have no comic timing, not only did he not have any ability to even read cue cards, but he was just like his monologue was a nightmare. He was... And like a lot of the jocks do when they show up, they rely heavily on the cue cards, especially during their monologue and especially during scenes, and they'll stumble over lines and stumble over reading the cue cards. Lance Armstrong stumbled magnificently through the entire episode. I'm going to play a little clip from one of the sketches, and this was an Iron Man. Lance Armstrong entered an Iron Man competition where he had to run, he had to climb, he had to swim, he had to ride a bike. And ESPN was covering it, and it was about Lance Armstrong doing horribly. Like, the only thing that he did well at was bicycling, and he even fell then. And so that was the joke. The joke was, Lance Armstrong is awful at everything except bike riding. And so they didn't, it was mostly a visual gag. Which was the case with a lot of the sketches that night. They did a lot of visual gags where they put Lance Armstrong in weird costumes and made him mug so that he wouldn't have to actually read lines or actually do dialogue because he could barely speak. So this is from the tail end of this horrific sketch where Lance Armstrong has a disastrous run as an Iron Man. And in it is Seth Meyers and Chris Parnell. They play the people covering this sporting event. This is when he is interviewed after the horrific placing that he made and the horrible job that he did during the Iron Man competition. So this is, I'm only going to give you one example of this episode because Lance Armstrong was one of the worst hosts actually in the history of SNL. So again, this is from season 31, episode 4, October 29th, 2005. By the way, it was the Halloween episode as well. And even putting him in weird costumes and doing Halloween-themed stuff didn't work. Sheryl Crow was fine as the musical guest and blah, blah, blah. But here's an example of Lance Armstrong not being qualified to host anything, not even a garage sale. But here he is on SNL at the end of this sketch from 2005.
Well, the race is over, and a disappointing finish for Lance Armstrong. Our own Donnie Brantley is with him now.
Tough one today, Lance. How would you describe it?
Well, I think the biking went great. That was really the high point, though. The running and the swimming seemed to have some hiccups. Maybe I overfocused on the biking and training. It's hard to tell, man.
Yeah, you would have thought biking wouldn't have needed too much of your focus.
I just kept thinking, I'm Lance Armstrong. If I lose the bike part, I'll be the laughing stock. So I just went bike, 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 and training leading up to the race.
Right. Talk us through the swimming.
You know, they say you never forget how to ride a bike. Well, they don't say that about swimming, and now I know why. Man, I totally forgot how to swim. That water caught me totally off guard. I was like, what's going on? It's crazy.
Yeah. And the running?
I never really knew how to run either. Don't know how people do it. Seems unnatural, ungodly.
Wow. It's a pretty strong take on running.
Yeah, I feel the same about walking, too. We have bikes for a reason. Give me one thing you can do on foot that you can't do on a bike.
Go upstairs?
This interview's over, man.
All right, we'll be right back after this.
Yeah, that kind of summed up the whole thing right there. He was looking at the cue cards the entire time, and they did a lot of sketches that involved biking, and a lot of sketches that involved the fact that he was an athlete and not really a performer. Because pretty early on in that week, you know, that week where everybody they meet the guests on Monday, they start pitching ideas, they start writing, and they start working together. And I think around Tuesday they realized this guy has got nothing. So let's concentrate on bike stuff. Let's concentrate on Sheryl Crow stuff. And let's put him in costumes and not let him talk that much because this guy is going to flush this episode right down the toilet, which is what happened. So that's just a little example of Lance Armstrong stinking up the stage as an SNL host, as one of the jock hosts. And again, not his fault. Not his fault. The man was not meant to host Saturday Night Live. He was not meant to do comedy. He was meant to be an athlete and ride the bike and then cheat. All right, so let's move on, shall we? The next jock host of the five that we're going to be talking about, as we move up the list from really, really, really shitty to kind of good to good, well, we're at number four, and so this was really, really bad as well. Michael Phelps, the Olympic swimmer who won all the gold medals and was a fascination for a while, and then, you know, he smoked a bunch of pot and he acted all goofy, and outside of being an Olympic you know, athlete and an incredible swimmer and a winner of many gold medals. You know, his personal life was a little weird. He did some questionable things. And again, young dude, earned a lot of money, made a lot of money from sponsors, and was cutting loose, man, doing whatever he wanted to do. Goofy dude, loved the marijuana, which at the time was not as socially as acceptable as it is now because everybody smokes pot. It's legal in so many parts of the country, and everybody blows weed while they're walking down the street. We got, you know, dispensaries on every block, and that just wasn't the case back in the days when Michael Phelps had won the gold medals and then was, like, busted for pot and acting goofy and saying stupid things to the press. So a weirdly controversial goofball is what this guy turned out to be. An insane swimmer, incredibly athletic. Again, a great jock, a great athlete, but not necessarily a great performer or a comedian. And wow, did he prove that the night he hosted. Michael Phelps, I think, rivals Lance Armstrong on the list of really, really horrific hosts that are jocks. So Michael Phelps hosted on September 13th, 2008. And that would be season 34, episode 1. So he hosted the season premiere of SNL. So they were so confident, I mean, coming right off of the Olympics. So they were so confident that this was going to be a great way to kick off the season that they had Michael Phelps be the first host of season 34. And, you know, it's kind of a big deal. You really want to kick off the season on a high note. Like, if you're going to have somebody be your very first host, you would think that you'd want somebody who was qualified or somebody who was really funny or somebody who was insanely popular. Or you might want to try and reach for the stars and go for a really big-time actor or a big-time actress or a legendary comedian or somebody who's won an Academy Award. Somebody really, really big who you guarantee could be very, very funny, who works well on SNL, maybe somebody who's hosted before, who is one of the favorites. That's how you want to kick off the season. But they decided in 2008 that they were going to kick off the season with a pot-smoking swimmer who has no idea how to deliver lines or read cue cards. So I am going to play Michael Phelps' opening monologue. So this was the monologue that he gave, again, season 34, episode 1, September 13, 2008. By the way, your musical guest that night was Lil Wayne. So that was your musical guest. So I'm going to play the opening monologue, the Michael Phelps' opening monologue. Now, this is indicative of everything that happened that night. Now, in his opening monologue, he's looking at the cue cards. He can barely read. He's really, really goofy. He's got no timing whatsoever, has no idea how to deliver a punchline. It's really awkward. It's comedically, it's kind of a disaster. And just on the simplest of level, the guy has no performance ability. And again, not his fault. But this is indicative of what happened a lot that night. He has a bunch of guest stars pop up, as you will hear, during his monologue. And sometimes during monologues, you know, this happens a lot. They'll do a Q&A thing with the audience. You know, if the person doesn't seem at ease doing a flat-out monologue, they'll do, like, the question and answer thing with the audience, which is a common thing. Or sometimes they'll have celebrities show up, or people make appearances, or crowd favorites show up. Ex-cast members or people who've been on the show many times or famous actors or people who are hot at the moment. When you are in doubt about your host, when you are in doubt about the fact whether or not they can deliver a good monologue by themselves, that's when you load up the monologue with surprise guests or lots of cameos. And that's exactly what they did here. So they did interaction with the audience because Michael Phelps definitely couldn't do a monologue on his own to save his life. So Amy Poehler plays his mom in this clip. And also then his real mom shows up. Michael Phelps' real mom shows up. And then there is a big celebrity cameo that pops up. And I'll tell you about another celebrity cameo that's in this clip, but you can't hear it. You can only see him. And for some reason, he's there. And I'll explain what's happening. But when you have a host like Michael Phelps, who has no comedic ability whatsoever, who clearly will not be able to do anything, then you load up surprise cameos or you load up other things during the show and so that the weight is lifted from the host. So Michael Phelps, when he was on, he barely did anything. There were a lot of cameos. There were a lot of surprises. It was like, our host sucks. Let's get some funny people to get on stage and surround this guy so he doesn't look that bad. So here's the monologue with a bunch of people coming in and a huge surprise celebrity cameo that helps Michael Phelps not completely suck during the monologue. But here it is. With all the help he can muster in surprise cameos, Michael Phelps' monologue from 2000.
This seriously is like the ninth greatest moment of my life.
Woo! Good job, Michael!
Thanks, Mom. For those of you who don't know, I set a world record this summer by becoming the first person to appear on NBC 390 consecutive hours.
Relax. What's that up there? Woo!
Relax, Mom. Come on.
What? A mother can't be proud of her son? Do you have children? How many of them have gold medals?
Mom.
I'm glad you Also, you're in the zone.
Also, I'm very proud to announce that I'm going to be a big part of NBC's fall schedule. So don't miss me in the new cop drama, Swim Cop. If you commit a crime and that crime is in the water, you're going to have to deal with me. I've also been getting a lot of endorsement offers, and you don't realize how important it is to choose the right kind of products for your image.
Excuse me, Mr. Phelps?
Yes, you have a question?
I do. You mentioned endorsements, and I believe that I have the perfect product for the Michael Phelps brand.
Well, I don't think now's the best time.
It's my first meth lab. It's the only meth lab kit on the market that is specifically marketed to preteens. I already put your face on the box.
Wow, I would not want to endorse something like that. I don't care how much you paid me.
Paid you?
Yeah, thanks, but no thanks. See, that's a good example of a product I should not endorse. I'm looking for endorsements that make sense for someone like me.
Yeah, it's true. You can't be too careful.
What are you doing here?
Well, Michael, I'm here to give you some advice. Nothing is more important than integrity. You've earned your integrity in the Olympic arena, and I was born with mine. So we must be vigilant. We just can't throw our face on any second-rate product. We have to save ourselves for the high-end brands. Brands like Priceline. But, I mean, the only online way to book flights, hotels, cars, you name it.
Are you just here to talk about Priceline?
No. I would never do that. And you know why I would never do that? Integrity. And Priceline.
Thank you. We have a great show to you tonight. Mom, are you excited?
Yes!
And how about you, Mom?
Yes!
Well, we have a great show tonight. Lil Wayne's here, so stick around. We'll be right back.
So, there you go. You got Amy Poehler kicking ass. Kena Thompson is in there. Will Forte being very funny. And a surprise cameo from William Shatner, because they were talking about endorsements. And at that time, in 2008, you could not turn on the TV without seeing those hilarious and weird Priceline commercials with William Shatner. So, here's what you do. You get Forte, you get Kenan, you get Amy Poehler, you get his real mom out there. You distract the audience from the fact that our host is a shithead who has no idea how to tell jokes. And then get William Shatner to dominate the entire thing. Now, the weird thing was, if you watch this clip, or if you watch the episode, and again, it's season 34, episode 1, William Shatner is up doing his bit about Priceline and being wacky and very funny. And to the right of him, sitting in the audience, is Guy Fieri. The real Guy Fieri, not Bobby Moynihan, but the real Guy Fieri, who, without explanation, is sitting there in the shot. Now, he does end up, I think, showing up later in the show. But during the monologue, here's William Shatner doing his thing, and I kept being distracted by the frosted tip ghoul that is Guy Fieri. And he's there smiling and laughing up and ha, ha, ha. And I just kept thinking, Shatner's doing his thing, but I'm like, my eyes were drawn to Fieri. So for some weird reason, there's Guy Fieri. So in addition to William Shatner saving the day from a person who can't deliver a monologue, and of course, Amy Poehler and Keenan and Forte doing their thing, there's Guy Fieri's creepy face. So anyway, it's very weird. But that episode ended up being just that. Now, the next episode and the next jock that we're talking about here is Ronda Rousey. Now, Ronda Rousey, who is a professional MMA fighter and a WWE superstar and a wrestler. Well, she hosted, and they did exactly the same thing that they did with Phelps, because Ronda Rousey can barely read. She is not very good at comedic timing. Anybody who watches wrestling knows that she can't really cut a promo, that she's terrible on the mic. And that, you know, she's tough and she's a badass and she punches people and she's a fighter. And in wrestling, she is, you know, she does her fighting moves and blah, blah, blah. She's good in the ring. She can execute some moves. She takes good bumps. And she executes moves very professionally and very well in the ring. But when you put her on the mic, which is half of what you need to do when you're a professional wrestler, you have to know how to cut promos. You know how to talk. You have to know how to work the crowd. You have to know how to work the mic. Ronda Rousey is awful on the mic. And when I heard that she was going to host, I was like, well, this is going to be a train wreck. And it was. And like Michael Phelps, what they did was they covered her ass. So in every scene, almost each sketch that they did, she barely did anything. Like, and what they did do, they would team her up with two or three really great and funny cast members. But here I'm going to play a clip I'm going to play a sketch from that episode. When Ronda Rousey hosted, this was season 41, episode 11. So it was January 23rd, 2016. Selena Gomez was the musical guest. Ronda Rousey was your host. Again, January 23rd, 2016, season 41, episode 11. If you want to look it up and find it online and find it at Peacock. But she was terrible. She was just absolutely terrible. And many of the sketches, they would surround her with great cast members who would carry her. She would wear a funny costume or do goofy stuff. Or in this case, which is a very funny sketch, and I'm playing a very funny sketch. This is a sketch where Pete Davidson is in court with like sort of a statutory rape case where his two teachers, played by Cecily Strong and Ronda Rousey, had seduced him. And it was based on, you know, some of these real life stories where a 15 or a 16 year old boy has an affair with his teacher. And this is the court case that resulted in this really, you know, unethical and very weird affair between a grown teacher and the teenager that they are seducing. Pete Davidson plays the teenager, and this is the court case that takes place. And Cecily Strong, Ronda Rousey play the two teachers who are accused of having an affair with an underage kid. And this is an absolutely hilarious sketch with Pete Davidson rocking it as the kid. And it's, you know, it's a courtroom full of people. And if you count, as I play this sketch back, your host that night, again, Ronda Rousey, she has three lines in this entire sketch. Three lines. Now, I'm playing the best part of the episode. And the reason why it's the best part of the episode is because Ronda Rousey has exactly three lines. But the sketch is really funny. The setup is funny. It's also edgy and weird and might make some people uncomfortable. I personally think this sketch is hilarious. And it is loaded with all-stars. Like, they put, like a lot of the sketches that night, they put a lot of cast members in the sketches to pick up the slack left behind from Ronda Rousey. So in this sketch is Beck Bennett, A.D. Bryant, Kate McKinnon, Taryn Killam, Kenan Thompson, who plays the judge, Bobby Moynihan and Jod Rudnitsky are also in it. And so it's loaded up with really strong cast members doing great work. It's a very funny, very edgy, very cool and funny, and at that time, topical sketch. And again, your host was terrible, so they gave her exactly, they put a wig on her. She sat next to Cecily Strong. They smiled at the camera, and she has three lines. So I'm giving you the best moment, the best sketch from that terrible episode. And the reason why it's the best sketch from the terrible episode is because all the other cast members pick up the slack. It's well written, and she only has three lines. So here, from the Ronda Rousey episode from 2016, here is the funniest sketch from that night.
We now return to HLN's coverage of Three's a Crime, the Janet Johnson, Luna, and Kara Torkelson civil trial.
Bill Arnold alongside Paula Abbott live at the Palo Alto Courthouse, where another scandal has rocked this city's schools.
High school teachers Janet Johnson, Luna, and Kara Torkelson are accused of having an inappropriate group physical encounter with their student, Mr. Daly, who was just 16 at the time.
Daly's mother is suing the defendants for emotional trauma inflicted upon her son.
Testimony continues as Gavin Daly will be questioned by the defense.
Now, Mr. Daly, can you point out your former teachers for the court?
Yes, they're right there, giving me butterflies.
So cheesy. Monsters!
Hey, Ms. Daly, please try and control yourself. Continue, counsel.
Mr. Daly, do you recall the events of October 3rd, 2014, the day of the encounter?
Very clearly. I replay it like a movie in my head every single day.
Now, Your Honor, I'd like to present Exhibit 7A, a text conversation taken from Mr. Daly's phone. The defendant, Ms. Luna, texts, "I'm with Ms. Torkelson, come over for some private tutoring." Winky emoji face. Can you describe your response, Mr. Daly?
Yes, I responded with a GIF of a cartoon bird exiting frame so fast that his feathers fly off to imply that I was happy and on my way as quickly as possible.
Yes, you certainly were. To illustrate Mr. Daly's attitude, I'd like to show traffic camera footage of Mr. Daly's car the moment he received Ms. Luna's text. Was that you driving, Mr. Daly?
Yes, that was the second coolest thing I did that day.
Second coolest. I see what you did there.
And what happened when you arrived at Ms. Luna's house?
I ran to the front door saying, Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
I see. And when did things turn sexual between the three of you?
After I walked in, I went to the bathroom, I looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, your life begins today. And then I came out, and we got down.
And how long would you say the encounter lasted?
About 5 hours.
Ooh, I remember those days.
Mr. Daly, what happened when you left Miss Luna's house?
I walked to the car with my arms out, kind of like spinning in circles like a Disney princess, like mid-song.
Oh, my God. So corny.
And in the days following, how did your classmates learn about what had happened?
I believe from me telling the story to anyone who would listen.
And were you ostracized at school because of this?
No, I felt more like Forrest Gump when he was running across America and people started following him because he represents hope.
Yet your mother claims your peers called you names.
Oh, yes, sir. Kids called me the Chosen One, King of Everything, The Revenant, Three's Humpany, Diary of a Pimpy Kid, Velocitaptor, and My Man, but like the way Denzel Washington says it.
I'm sorry, My Man, the way Denzel Washington says it?
Well, let the record show the witness means my man.
Did this affect your relationship with your family at all?
Oh, yes, sir. My grandpa and dad were estranged. This event brought them back together.
To illustrate Mr. Daly's mental state in the days following, here is a vine he posted the morning after the encounter. Everybody dance to be feeling great. Everybody dance to be feeling good. Everybody dance to be feeling great.
Everybody dance to be feeling good. I can't with this kid.
What a dork.
Okay, you know what? We'll take a short recess, and then we'll resume testimony from my man.
Wow, absolutely riveting testimony.
I know. That kid rules. At 16, I was still all about playing with Legos. More after this.
So, a very funny sketch. A very funny sketch. and again, you heard it. Three lines. That's all Ronda Rousey had. Three lines. So I wanted to play that because it's a funny sketch. Pete Davidson is very funny in it. Everybody is great in it. Keenan is, you know, reliably fantastic. The writing is edgy and weird and funny. And they held Ronda Rousey down to three lines, which is essentially what they did. So on the list of jock hosts being terrible, Ronda Rousey, again, not great. And if you want to go back and see the cast carrying her, which is the case with a lot of them, it's season 41, episode 11, January 23rd, 2016. Selena Gomez was your musical guest. All right. Now, the final two that we're going to talk about are actually two good episodes, and the hosts were both good. And this is what happens. You know, it's a flip of a coin. You're taking a chance. Well, in 1991, Michael Jordan hosted. Now, he also hosted a season premiere. But you have to understand that the Bulls were coming off of a world championship. Michael Jordan was the biggest name in sports at that time, not just basketball. And at that time, and still to this day, I don't care what anybody says, he's the greatest basketball player that's ever played the game. And they had just won their first big championship, the Bulls did. This was September 28th, 1991. The Bulls won their championship in June. So it's just a few months earlier. And the entire summer, everybody was celebrating the Bulls. Michael Jordan was the biggest dude and the biggest athlete on the planet. So SNL got him, and they scooped him in. So for season 17, episode 1, on September 28th, 1991, Michael Jordan was the host. Public Enemy was the musical guest. And on the simplest of levels, this might be the blackest episode of SNL ever. A spectacular episode. Unbelievably great episode. Public Enemy was the musical guest. Jesse Jackson made a cameo. Spike Lee made a cameo. Nat X, the Chris Rock character, did a great sketch. They did a Superfans. George Wendt was a part of it. They did a Superfans thing where Michael Jordan showed up and he had a hula skirt on. Michael Jordan was really, really funny and did great during the sketches. They wrote the sketches to suit him. But he was great and funny and charming and had good comic delivery. It was unapologetically black and celebrating the African American culture in full force, in full effect, with Jesse Jackson, Public Enemy, Michael Jordan there, Spike Lee showing up. It was spectacular. It was one of my favorites, truly one of my favorite episodes ever, and one of the greatest season episode openers, one of the greatest season openers of all time. So Michael Jordan did a great job. He's one of those guys. Now, he's not cut out for acting, you know. I mean, he was in Space Jam. The less said about Space Jam, the better the world is. But he's charming as hell. He can be really funny, and he did a great job that night. And unlike Michael Phelps, you know, the timing might have been okay. Michael Phelps was not the right choice to kick off the season. Michael Jordan was. He was on top of the world. He was the biggest name in sports at the time. The ratings were huge. The black audience loved it as well. And they did a really wonderful job. Public Enemy kicked ass. They had just released a new album. And they played Can't Trust It. And they played Bring the Noise. Spectacular performances by them. And I'm going to play the cameo by Jesse Jackson because it's magnificent. But I think most people would agree that out of a really terrific show where Michael Jordan did a really, really great job, the highlight was when he was on Stuart Smalley's show. And I think a lot of people would agree that, Al Franken showing up doing Stuart Smalley and Michael Jordan appearing on Stuart Smalley's Daily Affirmation show was easily the highlight of a terrific show. So here it is. This is just a classic sketch. Al Franken as Stuart Smalley with special guest Michael Jordan from one of the best episodes and clearly one of the best jock-hosted episodes of all time. Yeah, Daily Affirmation with Stuart Smalley.
Attractive person. I am fun to be with.
Daily Affirmation with Stuart Smalley. Stuart Smalley is a caring nurturer, a member of several 12-step programs, but not a licensed therapist.
I'm going to do a terrific show today, and I'm going to help people because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. Hello, I'm Stuart Smalley. Well, I'm still receiving some negative reaction from my show about Pee Wee Herman entitled There But For the Grace of God Go I. And I have to admit it was not my best show, but that's okay. I have to give myself permission to do a bad show every now and then. Okay, now for those of you who watch the show regularly, you know that I don't have guests. I always do the show alone, and that's okay. But yesterday, my producer said, Stuart, I can get you a guest that you would be insane not to have on the show. So I decided to take a risk, and in life you have to take risks. And today we have a guest. And his name is Michael J. I'll protect your anonymity. Michael is a basketball player for a professional basketball team. Well, that's very good, Michael. You should be very proud of that.
Well, thank you, Stuart. I am.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Michael, I know there must be a lot of pressure for you to play very well. And I can imagine that a night before a game, you must lie awake thinking, I'm not good enough. Everybody's better than me. I'm not going to score any points. I have no business playing this game.
Well, not really.
Michael, denial ain't just a river in Egypt.
Well, I do sometimes get a little nervous before important basketball games.
I thought so. And that's okay. You're not alone. Believe me, I know what it's like laying there awake, all those tapes rolling. I'm a fraud. Tomorrow I'm going to be exposed for what I am, a big imposter. I just want to curl up and lay in bed all day and eat Fig Newton.
Well, something like that.
Right. Well, Michael, those negative thoughts are your critical inner voice saying those things to you. And I want to replace those negative thoughts with something positive, a daily affirmation.
Affirmation?
Yes. Now look in the mirror. Come on. Don't look at me. Only you can help you. That's it. say, hello, Michael.
Hello, Michael.
I don't have to be a great basketball player.
I don't have to be a great basketball player.
I don't have to dribble the ball fast or throw the ball into the basket.
I don't have to dribble the ball fast or throw the ball in the basket.
Because all I have to do is be the best Michael I can be.
All I have to do is be the best Michael I can be.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Now, don't you feel better?
Well, I never really felt bad.
Michael.
No, it's true. Stuart, I guess pretty much of the time, I'm a very happy person. I mean, I'm a blessed person. God gave me the talent to play basketball, and I have been able to spread some of that talent and some of that good feeling towards everybody and inspire other people and help people achieve their dreams.
I am just a fool. I don't know what I'm doing. They're gonna cancel the show. I'm gonna die homeless and penniless. I'm 20 pounds overweight, and no one will ever love me.
Stuart, that's just not true. I think what you're saying in your show can be very helpful to people.
You think so?
Yes, definitely. I just don't think it helps beating yourself up that way.
You're right, it's just thinking.
And after all, this show is your dream. It's a good dream. And you deserve to have dreams come true. Feel better? Would you like a hug?
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Stuart.
You know what? I think this is the best show I've ever done. And you know what? I deserve it. Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
So, a classic sketch, just a classic sketch. And again, Michael Jordan did a great job, didn't stumble on anything, had a great sense of humor. He broke a little bit while he was looking in the mirror, and Al Franken was mugging behind him, but that's to be expected. It was a terrific show all the way around. And again, and it was from 1991, September of 1991. Dana Carvey, Chris Farley, Phil Hartman, Victoria Jackson, Mike Myers, Kevin Nealon, Chris Rock, Julia Sweeney, Ellen Cleghorn, Tim Meadows, Adam Sandler, Rob Schneider, David Spade. Al Franken was featured, and it was the very first credited appearance. That show was also great because it was the first credited appearance of Robert Smigel, who would go on to TV's Funhouse, and he was Triumph the Insult Comic Dog, and became one of the greatest writers in the history of SNL. But it was also just a terrific show in general. They had a great opening monologue. They had Schmitz Gay was on that, and that was when Adam Sandler and Chris Farley go to a pool party. It's the Schmitz Gay beer pool party. A documentary about the first black Harlem Globetrotter, where, all the Harlem Globetrotters at that point back in the day were all white, and then Michael Jordan comes in and does that, and there's Swirsky Sports Fans, Public Enemy performed Can't Trust It. It was Kevin Nealon's first Weekend Update. He did a nice job on that. There was A Dark Side with Nat X, which also had a Spike Lee on it. There was Tales from the Barbecue, which was grilling pork helped defeat a Nazi submarine. There was a In Memoriam for Miles Davis, who had passed away, and they did Bring the Noise based on that. Michael Jordan was on an elevator, and it was the same kind of thing that they did with Sting. So very funny stuff, but one of the great moments on that episode, one of the greatest moments, I think, in Weekend Update, Jesse Jackson showed up, and Jesse Jackson famously appeared on that episode of SNL, and he read Green Eggs and Ham. I'm just going to play it because it rules.
I read from Sam I Am. According to the Latter-day Saint Seuss, you do not like green eggs and ham? I do not like them. Sam, I am. I could not, would not own a boat. I will not with a goat. I will not eat them in the rain. I will not eat them on a train. Not in the dark, not on a tree, not in a car. You let me be. I do not like them in a box. I do not like them with a fox. I will not eat them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham.
Fantastic. All right, anyway, I wanted to play that. That doesn't have anything to do with Michael Jordan, but that episode in general is great if you've never seen it. Season 17, Episode 1, September 28th, 1991, Michael Jordan hosts Public Enemy, is your musical guest, special guests Jesse Jackson and Spike Lee. A magnificent episode, and Michael did a great job. All right, number one on the list of the five jocks that I'm concentrating on here, the best of this batch, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. He killed the night he hosted. He's made a couple of cameos on the show over the years. He's always been funny. You could see it in interviews. You could see it on the field. You can see it in commercials that he does, in sitcoms he's been on, in appearances that he's done live. The guy's hilarious, and so is Eli. So is his brother. They're both very, very funny. But Peyton Manning is number one on the list of five jocks that I'm concentrating on in this episode. Peyton Manning hosted on March 24th, 2007. That would be season 32, episode 16, and the musical guest was Carrie Underwood, and he killed. The sketches were strong, the writing was good, he was there to play, and he was hilarious. But absolutely the highlight, and some of this is visual, so you might want to look it up and check it out, is when Peyton Manning, they do a commercial for Peyton Manning in the United Way, where Peyton Manning is out playing with the kids and teaching them things and giving them life lessons and having a great time tossing the ball around with the little kids, all benefiting the United Way. But Peyton Manning turns out to not know how to treat kids. And at one point, you know, I'll explain some of the stuff that's happening. Oh, he's whipping the balls at kids and the balls are bopping off of their head and all that stuff. But ultimately, it's like doing a little bit of a twist on what you would expect from a United Way commercial. All the cliches and all the lovable, great, athletes helping out the kids and helping the United Way. Well, Peyton Manning is a bastard. He hates kids, and he treats them thusly. It is one of the funniest fake commercials and one of the funniest sports figure cameos in the history of Saturday Night Live. And on top of that, the entire episode was strong, and Peyton Manning was absolutely terrific. Again, March 24th, 2007, season 32, episode 16. A terrific episode from beginning to end, from his monologue to the good nights. Peyton Manning showed up, proved that he could do comedy, proved that he was funny, not just a great baseball football player, but also a great, great performer. But this was the highlight. Again, kids and the United Way and Peyton Manning from 2007.
Being a kid can be harder than it looks. Sometimes it helps to have an adult around.
All right.
That's why Peyton Manning takes time out to volunteer with local youth groups.
You guys ready to play some football?
Yeah!
Let's put our hands in. We're going to have fun. We're going to encourage each other. Teamwork on three. One, two, three. Teamwork!
Peyton uses football to teach valuable lessons of communication.
Check. Watch the sale. Pete, watch the blitz. Brown, 55, Razor. Set. Open. Get open. Get your head out of your ass. You suck. Let's go. Get back in here. Let's go. Except you. I can't even look at you. You know what? Go sit in the portal for 20 minutes. That's right. You stay in there. Why is the door open? Close the door. Stay in there. Okay, I'm sorry. Do you want to lose? I throw, you catch. It's not that hard, okay? All right, get out of here.
There's no substitute for the hands-on guidance a mentor can provide.
Then you just push it a little further, and you should hear a click.
Why don't we just use your keys?
I told you, I forgot them. Cops, every man.
Just a few hours of Peyton's time helps create childhood memories that will last a lifetime.
Just keep biting down. It's looking good. That's a handsome cartoon. Uh-huh. It's gonna be there forever.
As well as skills for life, such as assertiveness.
Mommy, mommy,
no, Sally, mommy's dead, remember? Okay, don't bother the pretty lady. I'm Peyton's.
Ethics.
All right, now, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have, I'm not saying I haven't. You know what I mean. Whatever. Kids are no
The NFL and the United Way. Spend time with your kids so Peyton Manning doesn't.
You kids all come live with me in my mansion?
Yeah!
Calm down. I'm just f***ing with you.
So that is just absolutely hilarious. And for the visuals, he's whipping the ball at the kids and hitting them in the head, forcing one kid to get a tattoo of him while he's biting down on a belt. He's teaching the kids how to break into a car as the cops pull up, picking up chicks in the park. Absolutely hilarious. And there are real kids in it, real kids, and making one kid, you know, stay in a stinky porta potty because he's so disgusted with the way he played. The visuals are hilarious. The way that Peyton Manning delivers the lines, the writing is great. It was just a great example of a great, great show. And of the five episodes and five jocks that we talked about, number one on the list who did the best job of any jock in this episode was Peyton Manning. And by the way, his brother Eli also hosted. He hosted one time, he hosted May 5th, 2012. That was season 37, episode 20, and the musical guest was Rihanna. And Eli Manning was terrific, too. He wasn't quite as good as Peyton. Peyton's funnier. Peyton is more suited for SNL than Eli is. But Eli did a good job and was very funny. And again, he hosted just one time. So the Manning brothers have only hosted one time, May 5th, 2012, for Eli Manning. For Peyton Manning, it was March 24th, 2007. So that's it. Five jocks hosting SNL. Again, you never know what you're going to get. You could either be horrible like Lance Armstrong, Michael Phelps, and Ronda Rousey, or it can be really good like Michael Jordan, or it could be exceptional like Peyton Manning. There are many, 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 many more jocks to choose from, and I will do more episodes dedicated to jock hosts of SNL. And that's what it is. And thank you for checking us out. A new episode drops every Wednesday right here at the Radio Misfits Podcast Network, the best podcast network in the world. Check out all the other podcasts at RadioMisfits.com. Check out our live 24-hour streaming service, RadioMisfits.live. My other podcast is a pop culture movie review, a guest podcast where I have great regular guests and really fun stuff. You should check it out. It's called the Nick D Podcast. New episodes Tuesdays and Fridays. And you can call us anytime you want. Suggestions for topics for the SNL podcast or anything you want to say about Saturday Night Live or questions or comments. 773-417-6948. Call us anytime. Email us, nickdpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks to Ed and everybody at Radio Misfits. Please take the time to share and rate and review us on every platform and check us out. And my buddy Jason Skaggs does all the music that you hear. He composed and performed the great beginning episode theme and this great closing theme on SNL right here. So thanks again, everybody, for checking out that show. It hasn't been funny in years. Lots more fun stuff coming up with cool guests and constant salute to Saturday Night Live. So thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next time.
Good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow.